What's the most important thing? There is a process and a road. Even though the process can be very, very quick. We think of processes as being this long, drawn-out thing where God's breaking us and then doing something and yanking things out. And that can be the case. But processes really are generally very fast. The only reason why a process is a process is not because God needs to take us through the process, but we need God to take us through the process. Because we're holding on. Right? We're holding on. And that's the only reason why a process is a process. Otherwise, it would be very quick. There's like healings, for example, deliverance from old lines, old patterns, conscience, guilt, this kind of thing. The healing from that can be extremely fast. And really it's intended to be, but we make it very slow because we hold on to things of the past. We hold on to old ideas. We hold on to the worldly thinking. We hold on, especially worldly thinking. Worldly thinking is devastating to the believer, but it permeates almost every believer I've ever met. And we don't even know that we have it. But we really do think like the world. We think like the world. And that's a brutal place to be. Don't think like the world thinks. By the way, don't think like the Christian world thinks. The world's influence in the Christian church on Christianity. The world has influenced Christianity very profoundly. Right? Don't think like the world. You'll go to college, secular college. You will, and even a lot of Bible colleges. Right? Many Bible colleges are plagued with this. There's worldly thinking. The number one way, the quickest, easiest, fastest litmus test there is of any kind of a college, of any kind of a church, anything like that. And this doesn't in and of itself mean anything, except it is a good test. If it's right with God, there will be soul winning. Okay? If it's right with God, there will be soul winning. Now, soul winning, and we've said this before, does not make you spiritual. But you soul win if you are spiritual. Right? So the action, the act does not make you spiritual. But if a person is spiritual, that will be part of the fruit of their life. They will be soul winners. Why? Because they have the thoughts and the heart of God. Right? Isn't that really the fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Right? Well, God so loved the world that He sent His Son. Okay, the greatest act of love God had ever committed was to so love the world that He sent His Son. So the believer who does not soul win is not spiritual, although soul winning doesn't make him spiritual. It's having the love of God in his heart and the Word of God as his frame of reference that makes him spiritual. And if he has those things, then one of the first things that will happen, even if it's a young believer who doesn't really know how to do things yet, but simply because of the Holy Spirit's conviction in his heart, he will become a soul winner. Like maybe he won't even know enough, like, okay, get into a church and it'll be organized and stuff, like churches should have it. And it's right and it's good when it is that way, right? But even if it's just, you know, a handout, like talk to somebody, hand out a tract, right? Somehow, share Christ with the lost. Share Christ with the lost. A spiritual person will want to share Christ with the lost. A carnal person... What do I mean by carnal versus spiritual, by the way? Let me finish the thought real quick. A carnal person will not want to share Christ with the lost. Why? Because he doesn't have the mind or the heart of God. So he is carnal. Carnality is the orientation of the soul to the world. Spirituality is the orientation of the soul to the human spirit as it fellowships with the Holy Spirit. And this is where the two come from. My soul can go either way. It can either have a horizontal plane whereby my soul fellowships with my flesh. My flesh then interacts with the world, and Satan is in charge of the world system. Or my soul interacts with my spirit, my human spirit. My human spirit is receiving from the Holy Spirit, and thereby my soul lives in a living relationship with God, in a living fellowship and a living communion with the Holy Spirit. That's spirituality. Now, just because somebody does soul win does not make them spiritual. Okay, it's entirely possible to soul win in a natural effort because that's what you're supposed to do. Now, in a Bible college, you have the requirement, right? And I think it's a wonderful requirement. Wholeheartedly love that requirement that every Bible college student soul win. Okay, but why do we soul win? We have to soul win because of the love of God. And if we don't soul win because of the love of God, then our soul winning is really works. And it's not a faith response to God. And it becomes a works program and it profits nothing, and in the end it'll all be burned up. Now those souls that we may win by the grace of God, because the Word of God is still the Word of God, and like Paul said, hey, I thank God the Word of God is preached no matter what the reason. Right? Those souls are still eternal. But if my heart isn't right with God in it, I personally don't believe that I will get the inheritance of those souls. Because I have done it as a work of the flesh, a work that will be burned up. So we sow in because of the heart of God. If we don't have the heart of God, we won't sow in. Simple as that. We sow in because of the heart of God. I think it's very important that we recognize this. In Bible college, when I was in Bible college, there were two types of people. There were those who got into things because of the Holy Spirit's leading, the heart of God. Not necessarily the Holy Spirit saying, go out on bus ministry or go out on visitation. He doesn't talk that way. But simply the Holy Spirit puts out into your heart a burden for the lost and a love for a certain type of outreach. And that is one type of the leading of the Holy Spirit. But there were also those people who did it as a badge. Who did it to, like, not very many. These were definitely in the minority, so please don't misunderstand. But they did it as a badge. And they did it because this is what you do. And aren't you coming? Like, what's wrong with you? And you can get this thing going on where people look over each other's shoulders to see what are you doing. What are you doing? So be careful with that. Keep your heart right with God. And never do anything out of works. Now, I'm not saying be passive. Because faith elicits a response. Okay? Faith will always elicit a response. Faith produces an action. This is what James was saying, right? You show me your faith, but I'll show you my faith with my fruit. Faith elicits an action. For example, I believe that God so loved the world that He sent His Son. I believe that there is a lost and dying world and people are going into hell. And so my faith in the love of God and my faith in the Word of God elicit a response. There would be something seriously wrong with someone if they know God, they know that the lost are going to hell, and they do nothing about it. I personally think that's mental illness. It's like the person who sees someone in the window of a burning building, looks at them, waves, and goes his way. That's mental illness. My personal belief, like in internet land, I'm sorry if this offends, but my personal belief is that if a ministry does not sow in, then the leadership of that ministry is mentally ill, spiritually speaking. Why? Because they don't have the mind of Christ. And not having the mind of Christ is living apart from reality. Living apart from reality, by definition, is psychosis. There's a lot of mentally ill Christians out there. There's a duplicity of thought. They claim Christ, but they don't know the heart of God. Who knows if they're even saved? Pastor Stephen said something one time. I think this was a very good statement. It was actually a very sobering statement. Now, Pastor Stevens, for those of you who've never met him, knows the Bible better than anybody I've ever heard of. Man preached for 54 years. Memorized the entire New Testament, then went ahead and memorized almost the entire Old Testament. He could, look, no Bible in hand, he could give you verse, chapter, exegesis, just off the top of his head. He knew the Bible better than anyone I've heard of. He said something very interesting one time. He said people, you know, he was talking about spiritual warfare, and in this case, demon possession. He said people picture demon possession as these people doing these bizarre things, making animal sounds or beating themselves into a wall or whatever. And certainly that is one expression of it. But he also said this, and this I thought was extremely sobering. It is entirely possible, because Satan is the angel of light, that demon possession can be in the ministers, so-called ministers of the gospel, who aren't actually saved, but purport to be servants of God. Just like the woman that had the gift of divining, right? Or whatever, the ability to divine. And she was following Paul around saying, you know, these men have the key to eternal life, right? They talk about Christ, they have the key. And finally, Paul turned around, he got so sick of her, and he cast the demon out of her. That was a demon possessing a woman, pretending to be a minister of righteousness, an angel of light. I'll tell you something. If I was a believer, or a pastor, who number one, didn't soul win, and number two, had the gall and the audacity to attack another child of God in complete and utter violation of the finished work of the blood of Christ, of everything that the gospel is, the audacity to attack God Himself, I wouldn't call myself saved, and I would wonder what influence demons have on me. Why? Because Revelation 12:10, it's Satan that is the accuser of the brethren. So you get these people, these pastors, and these different groups and these different types who go about, for whatever reason, right or wrong, accusing the brethren. Hello, How dare a Christian take on Satan's ministry? My guess is that person's not saved. I wouldn't put a plug nickel on it. I don't know. But I tell you one thing, I wouldn't put a nickel on it. People like that will frequently not soul win, and they will frequently resist soul winning because they are living in the lust of the flesh. Right? They're living in some sort of an approbation lust. And they get involved in jealousies and strife against the Word of God, against other believers, against God Himself, Acts chapter 9. Paul, why do you persecute me? Not why do you persecute other Christians? So these people in the name of God persecuting God. And they call themselves pastors, some of them. I tell you something, you could no more get me to listen to one of their messages than you could get me to stand in the middle of the highway. It's about as valuable. I don't know how I got on this topic. This is like completely not anything that I have been even considering today at any point. But you could not get me into that if you... I don't care how much what you did. I don't care how much you paid me. I would not go in there. It is not of God. And I don't care what they call themselves. So what is the most important thing? What's the most important thing? By the way, I wouldn't fellowship with people like that either. I mean, what are you going to do? Why are you going to fellowship with demons? Well, I've known these demons for a long time. I'm sure you have. So have they. By the way, an attacker is always influenced by demons. Right? An attacker is always influenced by demons. Why? It's Satan's ministry. That's why. Right? Joshua the high priest, what did Satan do there? Attacked. Right? Jesus, what did Satan do there? Attacked. The apostles, what did Satan do there? Attacked. Israel, what did Satan do there? Attacked. Moses, what did Satan do there? Attacked. I wouldn't fellowship with people. What happened to the guy who was attacking Moses the worst? Oh, Moses ain't coming back. Why did he bring us out here into the wilderness for? As though it was Moses who brought him out there. Yeah, Moses parted the Red Sea. Uh-huh. What did God do with that person? Well, I seem to remember that he opened the ground and swallowed him up. Right? And this is who we're going to fellowship with? Because of sentimental ties? I'm sorry, sentimentality sends people to hell. So what is the most important thing? It's really pretty simple.
God.
Sorry?
Love of God.
Certainly that's huge. What did Jesus say? The Word of God. The Word of God. Right?
Yeah.
It's the Word of God. You want to know the love of God? Get the Word of God. You want to know God? Get the Word of God. You want to know the heart of God? Get the Word of God. You want to live by faith? Get the Word of God. Notice the attackers are not the ones preaching rich Word of God. They're not living in categorical doctrine. But they sure do attack those who do, right? It's like Pastor Stevens always says, the unfruitful attack the fruitful. It's never the other way around. It's always the unfruitful attacking the fruitful. Why? Because Satan's not worried about the unfruitful. And if he can use a believer to do his work for him, all the better. Right? That really kills the testimony. That divides the church. And a house divided against itself isn't going to stand. Right? These people who do this attacking and this nonsense, this gossip and this backstabbing, and these pastors who are, you know, Yeah, I don't like what you say. I don't agree with that. So I'm going to slander you all over the place. You know what? I don't give a flying hooey of who agrees. Why don't you learn how to love the brethren and become a disciple? Right? So by this they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, by this they'll know that you're my disciple, that you know how to backstab and attack and slam somebody as well as the world can. Well, that's not what the Bible says, but that's what Christians do. Certain ones. Right? Sure they do. You all know that. Why? Because the unfruitful always attack the fruitful. The ones that where no life exists, where no lives are being transformed, will always attack those where life does exist and lives are being transformed. Why? Because Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, a minister of righteousness. You should have some of those turkeys talk to Pastor Shabelli. That would be fun. You know what he'd say to them? He'd get in their faces, "Get behind me, Satan." That's what he'd say. And he didn't care if it was a pastor or they called himself a Christian. "Get behind me, Satan." Because that's what it is. That's what it is. That's the source. Right there. "Get behind me, Satan." Right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Christians are too sentimental because they're not walking in categorical doctrine and they're not using specific word of God to govern their life. If you don't have a specific word of God governing your life, you're not walking with God. I know people have the need to grow. I'm not discounting that. But I'm talking about people who know, people who've been taught. I'm not talking about ignorance. I tell you, some of these jokers who call themselves pastors but are not, I wouldn't have anything to do with them. If that's what I meant when I got saved, I would have ran headlong into the world. Because the world's more honest. Really, the world's more honest. The world doesn't pretend to be what it's not. The world knows exactly what it is. You go down like some inner city ministry somewhere, right? You go down to one of these inner city places. Those people can tell you exactly what they are. No bones about it. And even if they reject Christ, they can tell you exactly what they are. I remember I was soul winning one time in downtown in a bad neighborhood in Baltimore, and I went up to a guy and I said, "Would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? He died for you. He loves you." And he said to me, "Does that mean I have to give up sex?" And I said to him, "Well, not to get saved, but you're going to give it up if you do get saved until you're married." He said, "No thanks." Fine. He knew what he was doing. Right? He made his choice. He knew what he was doing. He found his place in the world. He liked his lust pattern. He liked his sin. He made no bones about it. "I like my sin more than God." And that's what he said. He was honest about it. Yet these jokers in the pulpits and in the churches nowadays, in some of these churches, thank God there's a lot of that are beautiful, right? But in some of these places where these guys start attacking and stuff, they're fooling themselves. They're just as demonized as that guy is, except they think that they're righteous. They don't know the first thing about practical righteousness. Right? You don't know the first thing. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word Man shall live by every word. Rhema, every divine illumination from the Word of God. Why? Because that's where life is. Not because that's what He produces, but that's where life is. The Spirit gives life. How? Through the divine illumination of the Word of God to the believer's heart. The Spirit imparts His life. And when I have the impartation of God's life, then I get to know God's love. Then I get to know God's mercy, God's heart toward me. Then I get to know God's practical purity, practical righteousness, practical holiness. Then I get to have a communion with God on a moment-by-moment basis all the time. I fellowship with the Word of God. Right? Fellowship with the Word of God. This is why in the Old Testament, fathers were commanded to teach their children 3 times a day. Teach the Word of God 3 times a day. I believe, I can't remember for sure, but I believe in the Isagoges, it was 2 hours at a time. They would teach them 3 times a day, 2 hours at a time. They knew the Word of God, boy. Right? They knew the Word of God. I was like, what do people trade for God's Word? Right? What do they trade for God's Word? Well, quite frankly, most believers will trade pretty much everything for God's Word. Or excuse me, the other way around, right? Most believers will trade God's Word for pretty much everything. Right? Got something better to do. Can't be there for the Word of God. Right? Even if, like, how many of them actually belong to a church? How many belong to a church? 2, how many belong to a church that's actually preaching the gospel in the fullness of the Word of God in categories of doctrine, in the illumination of the Holy Spirit, in the anointing of God? How many are doing that? Yet, this is what we are to live by. Every Word of God. Every divine illumination to the heart of a man from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. The most important thing is the Word of God. Apart from, this is where it starts, this is where it finishes. The most important thing is the Word of God. There is nothing more important than God's Word. It is God's Word that will transform me. It is God's Word that will deliver me. It is God's Word that gives me life. It's God's Word that gives me joy. It's God's Word that gives me a life. It's God's Word that lets me get to know God. It's God's Word that gives me faith. It's God's Word that gives me hope. A lot of believers live apart from hope. Right? Because they don't implement in their lives, in their thinking, God's Word. It hasn't permeated yet. I remember years ago talking to a woman, telling her about, you know, the Word of God. And she was a believer, but she was in a place where they don't really, in a certain denomination, where they don't really preach very well the Word of God. They like to throw in a lot of traditions and stuff. And I was telling her, you know, God had intended for you to have an abundant life, for you to pour out from an overflow of the cup rather than from the bottom of the cup. And she said to me, I'm always at the bottom of the cup. I didn't know there was an overflow. I think that's common. Why is it common? Because there's no Word of God. Truth falls into the street in these days. Truth falls into the... Why? People heap unto themselves pastors having itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear to satisfy their flesh so they can continue living in some sort of a lust pattern. Either satisfy their flesh in the lack of conviction or satisfy their flesh in a legalistic endeavor so they can feel nice and self-righteous. It's useless stuff. It's completely useless. live in the precision of truth. You know, truth is very precise. The Bible is not vague. Live in the precision of complete, precise categories of truth. What do I mean by that? Things that people let slide from the world, and because it somehow satisfies, they let it slide in. That's not a good thing. Live in the precision of truth. Believers don't want to do that. I think believers are a little bit psychotic sometimes. You know, they say they want life, but they hold on to death. I think the number one way in which this shows itself, although there are many ways, but I think like one of the main ways is the type of music people like to listen to. Don't you realize that Satan, when he was Lucifer, was in charge of the music? He knows how to use that stuff unbelievably well. You've got this unbelievable supernatural brilliance that was the highest brilliance, second to God's own, because he was the covering cherub. It was that brilliance that was in charge of music and that brought it into the world. Yet believers are like, oh, I can have my rock and roll. Yeah. Yeah, you want leanness in your soul. You want a little bit of lukewarmness there. You want a little bit of that leaven. You knock yourself out and I'll see you at the bema seat. Why, you don't think that whatsoever is not of faith is sin? You don't think that? Now, they like to hold on to that. Why? Because it drives the flesh. It energizes the flesh. Makes their flesh feel good. Makes it feel vibrant. You know what? Why don't you crucify the flesh and let the life of God make you feel good and vibrant? Let God quicken your spirit and your soul. You don't need the world and Christians succumbing and compromising with the world system to quicken your soul and all that. I don't care if they call it Christian. I don't. You know what? You can call anything you... Hey, I'm the Pope. Does that make me the Pope? What's that?
Just the watch.
Just the watch. That's right. Pope watch. You can kiss the watch. These believers will compromise. You know what? Where it says give no place to the devil? You know what that's referring to? It's a crack in the wall. A crack in a dam. That's what it is. It's not living outright sin. It's don't give him a crack to get into. Right? Don't give him a crack to get into. Why? Because he'll get in. And once he's in the crack, he stays there. Cracks are worse than holes in some respects. Why is that? Because if something has a hole in it, whatever's coming in is going right through and back out. But if something has a crack in it, whatever's coming through is staying in there. Like, you take a brick, right? And you know those bricks that have the holes in them? I don't mean like cinder blocks, but I mean like the red bricks that have the holes in them. You pour a bunch of water in that, and you let it sit over the winter, and you pour, let it freeze. What's going to happen to that brick? Nothing at all. Because the water's going to go right through. But you take a brick that's solid, and you put a little teeny, teeny, teeny crack in it, and what's going to happen to that brick? It's going to fall right apart. Right? Because the water's going to stay in that brick, and it's going to do its damage. Satan's looking for a crack. He's not looking for a hole. Precise life with precise doctrine results in precise rewards and a precise life with God. Gives you precise growth. I mean, what's more important? What is the most important thing? The Word of God. It's the Word of God, folks. It's amazing to me how many people would walk away from the Word of God. You know why? Because their heart's not right with God. It isn't. If a person's heart is right with God, they cannot walk away from the Word of God. Why? Because the Word became flesh. It is walking away from God. People say, oh, I can still fellowship with God. I can still do that. No, you can't. On what basis? Your emotions? Your private interpretation? You can't do that. You try that, you have no shot at all. But the enemy will make sure you feel good and unopposed. And he'll prosper you there too. Because he's just putting you to sleep so you have no real living faith in Christ, so that your life bears no real fruit, so no souls get saved. You're toast. Sleeping toast. Right? And God says, toast, I'm going to put you in the toaster. Wake you up a little. But you know what? God won't violate your free volition. And if that's what you want, that's what you can have. Right? And if you are saved, you will go to heaven. But at the Bema Seat, you're not going to be, well, you will wish you have made better decisions. Right? You wish that you had been more faithful to God's Word. You'll wish that you had taken your opportunities to get to know His heart, His mind. Why? Because it's coming, and that is our state for eternity. Okay, think of it this way. You are going to go and get equipped with all the equipment you will have for the rest of eternity. In a sense, in one sense, that's what the Bema Seat is. Right? Because that is where we get our rewards. The Bema Seat rewards last us for eternity. That's it. Nothing more. Now, these people who piddle around in this life like it's some sandbox, like there's some kids playing with mud and clay and stuff, who don't really have a clue what they're doing, who don't have any precision of truth in their life. Okay, fine. If that's what you want, that's what you got to let you have. Anyway, are there any thoughts? We should have a message. It's funny when the Holy Spirit speaks. Like people are, like sometimes, I'm not saying this is happening here, but sometimes people will say, oh, he knows something. Or somebody has said something. No. The Holy Spirit has said, yeah, somebody did say something, but not who you think. The Holy Spirit said something. That's why he's talking to you. And he's talking to you because he loves you enough to speak to you. And he's kind enough to do it in a human voice, so it's nice and clear. No ambiguity. Anyway, any thoughts before we get started?